Alrighty.
How are you?
I'm great.
Super. When we were with you at Bakersfield earlier this year, just wondering with that whole atmosphere and growing up there and everything, what are like the biggest lessons that you took growing up as a kid? I heard you talk a little bit about happy hours and, you know, taking metal out of air conditioners to be able to race. I mean, is it just work ethic or what specifically?
You know, I think the work ethic in that particular town is different than a lot of places that you will go. It's you know, there's a lot of oil field jobs and you know, a lot of things are a lot of survival, I guess you could say. So, you know, I still go back to, I think the best 4 years of my life, you know, were spent in the wrestling room and learning about yourself and the things that you do. You know, but, you know, growing up in Bakersfield, it was a racing town and always had a lot of support there. And you see that when you go back. So it was fun to go back. And you know, I think as you look at everything that we've been able to accomplish, to be able to still go back and contribute to the town is something that I'm proud of.
I thought it was cute how you said about Keelan on happy hours that you mentioned to him, did you watch the race? What did you learn about perseverance watching that race? And, you know, what was his take?
Yeah, he just kind of looks at you and shrugs his shoulders and walks off because, you know, he just doesn't understand. And you know, there will be a moment where you can get that across to him understanding and him understanding that, you know, you have to have a good work ethic, but you also have to have that survival mode in there as well. And part of that survival mode is, you know, giving everything that you have, even when it's not going good. And you know, it would have been easy to do last week, and there's been a number of situations before, and that's just kind of been a character trait that I've had, I feel like, throughout my whole career of you know, doing things that you're not supposed to do, winning races late and making up ground when you're not supposed to make up ground. So you know, those situations are good because they never go away and you always remember them, but they're all character building moments that make it great. Well, I would consider last week's survival mode. You know, you go from, you know, qualifying on the pole and, you know, leading both practices on Saturday and leading every lap in the first stage to, you know, to a flat tire, dragging the ground, wondering if the tire is going to peel off and rip the fender off. And it, you know, the first thing I thought about is, how do I get this car to pit road without it tearing the fender off so you can keep going? And Tony Gibson's first thought was, we got to put two tires on so we don't go two laps down. So you let all that play out, and then you digest all the information, and then it's like, okay. And, you know, for me, I never said a word. I just asked what happened and you know, what do we need to do? And we had a fast enough car that was still together at that point to get ourselves back in a position for the lucky dog, and the caution came out. And that was just the beginning of going a lap down again and pitting early and going a lap down again and taking the wave around. And you know, so there was just there was a lot of things that you know, you had to digest and had to take in. But you know, in those instances, you also have to perform and go as fast as you can on the racetrack, and we were able to do that.
When that happened, you were very calm on the radio, almost matter of fact. Is that something that you consciously do to try to keep the team calm down and keep them out of panic mode?
Well, I've learned over the last 5 years that the less I say on the radio and the less I say in general, for the most part, is usually more effective, you know, for my team. And in that moment, we had controlled all the things that we had could control very well throughout the whole weekend. And that was what we needed to do on that particular weekend in order to get here. And you know, in that particular moment, you know, the only thing that you could do was put the tire on, go back out on a racetrack and start over again. And that's what we did.
Did you feel like you guys raced with a chip on your shoulder last week after the
penalty? I feel like we race with a chip on our shoulder every week. You know, for me, it's, you know, there's always some incentive in proving people that you can do something that isn't what they think you should do. And you know, I think as you look at, you know, you can look at my whole career. You know, you shouldn't win, you couldn't win, and then you did. And, you know, last week it was, yep, this penalty is going to slow them down. But it's like I told you guys last week, when they take 10 away, we find 20. And, you know, it's just the mentality of the race team. It's always push the limits. And when they back against the wall, make it better than it was before. And I think up until the flat tire, I mean, that was the pace that it was on to do.
Do you ever surprise yourself?
And sometimes I just laugh because you know you keep yourself in the game, and sometimes you get that you in those situations you get that adrenaline going, and in those situations you just have to kind of walk out of there and chuckle sometimes because of the fact that, you know, it just seems to happen a lot. But you know, it's part of what makes it fun. And you know, you can crumble and take those situations and fall apart, or you can take those situations and succeed and chuckle on the way out.
Kevin, some guys win races are not supposed to win. Some guys lose races. But in this season where you've consistently been the best team, if you don't win the championship, is that a letdown?
I mean, obviously with everything that's happened this year, you want to win the championship because obviously you think it would be icing on the cake with everything that you've accomplished, but it's just not that easy. You know, coming here, you know, this time of the season, there's just like us last year, we didn't run well in the first half of the season, and you look at the 22 car, they didn't run well in the first half of the season, but, you know, they came on late and have done well. So, you know, it's really – you know, obviously that's the goal, is to go out and try to win the championship. I don't know that it would be, you know, there's nothing that's going to devastate us to the point of not being able to function anymore. But, you know, to go along with everything that you've done this year, it would definitely seem fitting to add that to the year end. But it's this is a very unique place that isn't like any other place that we race from a mile and a half standpoint. It's always warm. It's always worn out. It always goes from day to night. And the conditions change a lot, and there's so many different things here that it's really hard to put everything together to the point of making your day perfect, because it's just not going to be perfect, and that's just not the expectation going into it, is that to think that everything's going to be perfect. You know, you want it to be perfect. You control all the things that you can control, but you have to go in the back of your mind knowing that you're going to have to adapt and adjust at some point, just like we did last week, to adversity or something going wrong, and you can't let that just rip everything apart.
Is there a point in your career where you learn that? Because I would think the penalty last week would make you at least angry or upset, in the sense of, man, now we got to come back and do this again. How do you channel not letting that anger or frustration?
Well, I haven't always been very good at channeling my anger.
I mean, is it just because you're older, or is there a reason?
Look, if I was jumping over the hood of a car right now and I went into my house and I had a six-year-old that saw me trample, you know how embarrassed I would be to have to walk in the front door and say and answer that question and say, "Hey, Dad, why'd you jump over that guy's car? Grab him by the throat." Well, probably wasn't the right thing to do. And so and then it would get more embarrassing as you would take him to school and have to drive through the carpool line to see his teachers that are all watching as well. So it's you know, still not perfect and still don't say all the right things or do all the right things, but you definitely as you go through life, I would hope that we all mature, you know, from a life standpoint to be able to be a better person. But I still screw up a lot.
People like to say that the only people who can beat the four team is the four team. Is that the way that you guys look at it too?
You know, I would disagree with that. I mean, we've been beat square up, heads up, however you want to phrase it, you know, from all these guys at some point this year.
Kevin, you talked about the investment of Ford in Stuart Haas several times. Would it be more prestigious or more rewarding for you to bring a third championship to Stuart Haas, but under that Ford banner?
Well, there's a lot of incentive that comes with that, the Ford question, just because of the fact that, you know, when we left Chevrolet, there were a lot of people that said we would never contend for another championship. So, you know, for us within our walls, that's been a lot of motivation since we started. And, you know, to know how important, you know, it is for Ford to put themselves back in the mix. Obviously Penske has done a good job, but to have more cars in the mix to try to win another Cup Series championship and know how important that is to Ford, motivates us. And so we have a couple different reasons to be motivated over that situation. And you guys know me and have heard me talk about it long enough. Every year, every situation, you have to find those pieces of motivation that come from different things at different times. And the Ford piece is definitely very motivating from a couple different aspects. You know, I think this year, honestly, this year was a year where we thought we were going to be, you know, third in line as far as the cars went, you know, from a speed standpoint, just because of, you know, the Chevrolets were really, really fast at all the tests that they went to preseason. And, you know, the Toyotas were where they were last year. Obviously, a lot changed over the off season with the way that the cars were inspected, the splitter rule. And, you know, so that all that stuff kind of seemed to fall into our wheelhouse, and we were able to, you know, to have a lot of speed in the car, and our guys had done a good job. As far as the motivation goes, you know, it's always different. You know, there's really nothing that's ever the same. It would be difficult to start a year if you didn't have something that, for me, that I could reach out and grab and wrap your arms around and motivate yourself. But you know, the other thing that's fun, I mean, there's a lot of guys on the team that haven't won consistently for 20 years. And, you know, I think as you look at those results and you get out in victory lane and you see the enthusiasm that comes from a lot of those guys, that's very motivating in itself. So it's always a moving target. And, you know, I think that, you know, that target moves throughout the year as well. And you get into a situation like you had after Texas, and then it's your spoiler. You know, the beginning of the year, it was the window. You know, so there's a number of things. I mean, you could take the spoiler off and you're going to have the same result at Texas. And you come to Phoenix and you qualify on the pole and you do all those things. You know, so those things are all, it's a constant evolution of what that target is.
People would say, why do it though? If you could take the spoiler off and this result would be the same.
Well, I didn't say it would make as much downforce.
Okay.
Kevin, can you tell us some of your strengths and weaknesses at Homestead?
A lot of that depends on what your car is doing on a particular weekend. I don't think any year is going to be the same as to what you fight. They changed the tire this year, and you know that's obviously a little bit different than what we've had in the past. So, you know, it's definitely a situation to where tomorrow's really not going to tell us anything, you know, as far as that goes as well, because you're going to run three laps in practice and you're going to run hopefully three laps in qualifying, and then you're going to put it into what matters, and that's race trim. I mean, really, you know, you want to qualify in the pole if you can, just because the first pit box is quite a bit of an advantage because it's so short to the timing line here. So, you know, it's a unique racetrack, and you know that running right against the fence is probably the fastest way around after lap 25. But what happens if there's only 20 laps left? You know, where do you run then? Do you run the bottom? Do you run the middle? And you just have to be, you have to have options here from what your car will do and what you do as a driver, because it's just such a unique track.
With your daughter Piper, how would this championship be different, having her around to say that she saw dad win a championship?
Yeah.
She was around to see your dad.
You know, that's funny, because Keenan and I talked about that last night. I have a picture of he and I in the bathroom at home. I have a picture of he and I sitting against the wall in 2014. I said, it'd be pretty cool to take one with Piper in there as well. And he said, yeah, it would be pretty cool. He's like, so if you win the championship, will they let you do anything? I said, yeah. If we win the championship, you can pretty much do whatever you want. Everything's over. He's like, we're going to climb the fence, Dad. Like, okay. I said, I'll watch. You climb the fence, and you can do that after we take a picture with Piper up next to the wall. So, no, I don't think so. You know, I would tell you that he understands a lot of what's going on, and what you do, but I just don't. He doesn't understand the magnitude of everything. We try to let him do as many normal things as possible at home. I mean, you know, I'm not going to shy away from the carpool line or sitting in the gym watching a high school basketball game because he wanted to go. I'm just, we do all those things. We do normal things, and you know, he doesn't If he walked in here right now, the first thing he would ask is, you know, he sees me sitting over in the corner, and he'd be over asking somebody where the M&Ms are, or you know, if he can have a Coke, or you know, something along those lines, because of the fact that, you know, he just looks at this as he gets to hang out with Dad and have a good time. So, you know, it's funny because I say that he doesn't understand the magnitude, but you know, there'll be some days where you'll come home and he doesn't win, and Delano will say, you know, he was crying on the couch because you didn't win the stage, or you didn't win. So I just don't think he understands, you know, exactly what means what at this particular point. And you know, I think hopefully as he gets older, he'll take it all in, and he can come back and look at all the pictures.
How is Tony the owner? Is he any different from
He's overweight and needs a haircut right now.
But you know, in terms of obviously the other relationships, kind of, you know, friendship.
Yeah.
How does he differ at all?
He's different. No, he's always Tony. You know, but you guys know him, you know, from this standpoint, and you know, I think as you look at Tony, he's very unique as an owner because of the fact that you know, for instance, when I was getting ready to race for our first championship at Stuart Haas, I got back to the bus and he and Delana were laying out the schedule for the week. Yeah, just because of the fact that he felt like he had been there and done that and understood, excuse me, what it took. So, you know, Tony is good to have because he looks at it from a driver's mentality. And from a driver's perspective, when you're driving the car and that's the owner, I mean, there's nothing better because it's all about how do we make the cars go faster to win races. And so Tony and Gene are a very good mix because, you know, Gene can't do it without Tony, and Tony can't do it without Gene. And, you know, from an employee standpoint, I still feel like we're the most, you know, stable team in the garage from a financial standpoint and support standpoint because of Ford and Gene Haas and all the things that they can put into things. And it's not shut the race team down over, you know, missing half a season full of sponsors. It's, you know, Haas Automation on the side, and we're going to figure this out. And so It's definitely you know, a lot of fun to have owners like that. But Tony definitely brings a driver's perspective, and he's been there, done that.
Is your schedule and routine pretty much the same now that as it was that first championship year?
I would say it's similar. You know, the one thing about this week is there's going to be more people around. You're gonna have to. You know, do more than one press conference, and you're going to have to answer more questions, and you're going to have to do more of everything. So from a mental standpoint, you just have to be prepared, you know, to compartmentalize things, to know that you have to do more work and still get in a car and perform.
With the total package that you have assembled over at SHR and just the incredible numbers you put together in the last 5 years, do you regret the first 13 of your Cup career?
I don't regret them at all, you know, because of the fact that, you know, Richard Childress was you know, very instrumental in getting me the opportunity to get out of the Truck Series and get into the car. And we had, you know, we had a lot of successful days. We had a lot of trying days. And, you know, I think as you look back at it, I don't think I would be, you know, as fortunate to be in the position that I'm in if you hadn't gone through all those ups and downs and owning race teams on your own and going through all the experiences that we had. Because, you know, in the end, the race teams were really, and the Xfinity Series in itself, were really a relief valve for, you know, the lack of performance on the Cup side. So when your Cup car wasn't running good, it was really, you know, kind of a proving ground to go out and run good in the Xfinity car. And a lot of the BS came with on the Cup side was trying to keep yourself relevant, and because you needed to make a story. You couldn't, you know, now it's a situation to where you can make the story by running fast in the car, and you don't have to act like a, you know, a crazy man outside the car. So, but what I'm saying is all those years and all those things of doing right and doing wrong, running good, running bad, we still won the Daytona 500, and we still won at the Brickyard and had a lot of other wins in between. Now, we have won the same amount of races in 5 years compared to 13, but it's still you know, without all those life lessons and experiences of the things that we did, you'd never be here. May never have got the opportunity if it wasn't for Richard.
Speaking of performance on weekend and also set a career high there. From a performance standpoint, do you think that this has been the best season to date of your career?
I don't think it's been the best year performance-wise. I feel like 2014 we had the fastest cars that I've ever driven in my career, but we were just so new to everything and so young, and we made so many mistakes and had so many things break, you know, that we just didn't capitalize on it that year because we were just we were in our first year, and you know, I think right now our cars are, you know, are really fast, and we've had a great year, and you know, having that experience has helped us be more successful this year.
Kevin, thanks guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep.
And you said yesterday.
Oh, you never know about that until you get him here on Sunday.